Welcome to the Greg Dwyer Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your host, motivational speaker Greg Dwyer. Be sure to check out Greg at www.gregdwyer.com. That's www.gregdwyer.com. Now on to our show. Take it away, Greg.
You know, anybody can get excited about doing something, but you have to have resilience. You have to be unstoppable. My guest today is a friend of mine, Nat Fadal, and she is going to tell her story, which, number one, will inspire you. When I first heard it, it really moved me, and I've heard it a couple times. It is a great story. It's a true story. But she also has techniques and tips that can help you to be unstoppable, to turn setbacks into success. So I'm so happy that she's on the call and she spent some time with us today. Nat, thanks for being on the broadcast.
Hey, Greg, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be on.
So everyone has a story. I know you do speaking. How did you get into this? Primarily, what's the backstory? It seems like everybody has a backstory, and whatever they talk about kind of relates to what they went through. So what's your backstory? I'd love to hear it again.
Yeah, that's a big question, Greg. That's definitely the question for me. I guess in a nutshell, I'll go into a little bit of a detail, but in a nutshell, my life has been the quintessential American dream. I was actually born in Argentina, and my parents migrated here to the United States when I was just a baby. So they came over for that American dream, better opportunities, better jobs, just to live a better life. And, of course, they brought me along with them, and I grew up here. But as things unfolded, I like to say the American dream quickly turned into the American nightmare. My parents split. My mom had two more kids, so I have two brothers, a total of three. So she was a single mom, three kids, and really trying to make it on her own, but had a difficult time. The additional part of that interesting story is that my visa expired. So because we were often homeless, moving around a lot, and really just couldn't make ends meet most of the time, my visa expired, and I ended up being here for about 19 years as an illegal immigrant. And that was a journey in and of itself and a whole other story. But that, on top of the poverty that we had, or a lot of the adversities and obstacles that I had to decide to overcome to really get out of that generational poverty and just to change my life for the better. So that's really my backstory, is just overcoming, dire situations, not knowing what you were going to eat, where you were going to live, and just choosing to go after something different.
Okay. I can't even imagine being homeless. What age were you when all of this nightmare happened and unfolded? Like, what age? Do you remember?
Yeah, I was young. I was about 5 or 6 when my parents divorced, and so I remember the instability started shortly after that. So I was real young.
Okay. So when you say homeless, are you talking about living in shelters? Are you talking about living in cars, on the street? Like, unpack it for us. Really? Oh. Mm.
Yeah. No, that's a good question, because homelessness can mean a lot of different things. So for us, we actually didn't even have a car. So for us, homeless definitely meant shelters if we didn't have a place to live of our own. We also did a lot of just staying with friends, so folks that would let us stay for a couple weeks, maybe a month at a time. And then other times we would stay like in motels, because you could pay, a week at a time, and that was a lot of times all we could afford over like a month's rent. So for me, it was shelters, motels, and a lot of different friends' houses.
Wow. Unless you go through that, I don't think you really have that experience of having the thinking, know where your next meal is coming from and where you're going to live. How did that impact you as far as your psychological makeup as a young child?
another very big question. It's something that I didn't know at the time was impacting me, right? I think I think at the time it was just life as I knew it. You know, we'd wake up and it was like, okay, what's today hold? Do we have something to eat or not? If we didn't, then it was like, okay, figure that out. You know, go to a food bank, knock on the neighbor's door, you know, get that need met. And then it was a matter of where we were sleeping tonight. So it was literally day by day, that's what we were thinking. And of course, at a young age, I didn't have the capacity to understand that it would have, you know, emotional and psychological impact. So I learned that much, much later on. Ironically, I think as I started entering professional relationships and just getting to have a different dynamic with people. But as a young child, it was just what I knew. It was just being in survival mode. What do I need to do to get by another day? And also staying under the radar. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So, I want to focus on now because, you know, we could probably talk a whole half an hour about all of the background that you went through in the past. Maybe we'll have you on another broadcast in the future. But where are you now in contrast to then? You know, just to paint the picture, how is life for you now?
Yeah, I mean, completely different. I think sometimes I surprise myself. So fast forward really into my high school years, we still had the instability. And I just decided to use education to get me out of that situation, out of poverty. And so I focused on graduating high school and then was able to go on to college with the help of a high school counselor. And really that was a pivotal moment for me. So I was able to then, using that degree, right, then get a job and do all of those things that one should be able to do. And so I started a career and my life really took a complete turn. I was able to provide for my family. And finally have the safety, security, and stability that I didn't have as a young person. It's night and day now. It's completely different. Did that answer your question before I go on? Because I do want to be mindful of our time.
Yeah, no, I just want to know what the secret was. Like, how did you do this? Was it your mindset? Was it resilience? Was it somebody you modeled? Was it a book that you read? Was it just your destiny? Like, what was the thing that pulled you through the setbacks to where you are now, which is obviously a success? Like, what is the formula, if you could give it to us?
Yeah, I can actually give it to you pretty quickly in three steps. The first one was just to decide. So I talk about this a lot. So you have to make a decision about what you want the outcome to be. So whatever the situation was, for me, it was like I just didn't want to live like that anymore. Not having just a bedroom and a bed and a place to call home every day. I just was tired of that. And so I made a decision that I would use school to get out of that. And it seems so simple, Greg, but the reality is a lot of us, even now, we are indecisive in all areas of our life. Something as simple as, like, what should I have for lunch today? And because we won't make a decision, we are just causing ourselves fatigue, actually, and then our brain ends up just being tired at the end of the day because we're just like, what, you know, should I have a salad or a sandwich for lunch? And we do that all day. It's a silly example, but once we can decide, then we can start taking action into the next step. But the key first was decide. So I had to decide what I wanted, and I used school. And step number two then is to do, I like to call this do what others won't. And that's really just to set yourself apart from everyone else. You know, maybe it's come in early to the office, maybe it's stay late. For me, doing what others won't meant getting on a public bus at 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, 2 hours each way to get to high school. Doing what others won't for others maybe means, stop gossiping about your husband, but go see a counselor and work on your marital issues, right? It's like setting yourself apart from what everyone else is just doing and not really getting over their setbacks, not having any real success. So decide is number one. Do what others won't is number two. And then number three, pretty quickly, is de-escalate yourself first. I know that's a mouthful, but de-escalate is the biggest piece for me. I think if that was the secret ingredient, is to learn to manage your emotions. You talk about resiliency, being able to overcome adversity. We have to get good at managing our emotions because that's what's going to hold us back more than anything.
Wow. I am taking notes. I love how every step begins with D, decide, right? It's wonderful. How did you come up with this formula? Did somebody help you with this? Did you just sit under a tree and meditate? How did this come to you? This is your formula.
Yeah, a lot of reflection. And I think the big question I kept getting from folks just like yourself just now on this interview is, well, how did you do it, right? Because we tend to put others that maybe overcome an obstacle or some immense adversity, we tend to place them maybe on a pedestal or look at them and say, wow, they're extraordinary. I could never do that. And so I was getting a lot of that, and I had to sit back and say, well, what really was it? Like, I'm not superhuman, and I'm not extraordinary. I just chose to do something different. I chose to be active in making my life better. And over the years, that's turned into a lot of different things. I mean, later in life, I had to learn to, you know, get out of debt, for example, and I used the same 3-step process. But I just kept getting the same question, you know, and how did you do it? And I realized that anyone can actually do it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the next question is, how do folks get a hold of you? Because I'm sure they're going to want to have you on other podcasts, or they're going to want to know about your live events that are coming up. In fact, I see you have one coming up at the end of March 2024, which is exciting. But if someone wanted to reach out and find you, is LinkedIn the best source? Where should they look?
Yeah, LinkedIn is definitely the best place to get a hold of me, or my website, nattrodahl.com. One of those two will be the easiest way.
Okay, so spell the website just in case someone's driving or they want to record this and look at it. How do they get there? What's the spelling?
Sure, it's nattrodahl.com.
Excellent. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to unpack this formula, and then I'm going to ask you a question. Why do you think people don't do this? We'll be back in exactly 30 seconds.
You've been listening to the Greg Dwyer Radio Show, brought to you by motivational speaker Greg Dwyer on buildingfortunesradio.com. If you wish you could sharpen your focus on what matters most to you and achieve more, then you owe it to yourself to read Greg's ebook at gregdwyerebook.com. That's www.gregdwyerebook.com. Download it today and give it away. As always, we want to thank you for listening to the Greg Dwyer Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with motivational speaker Greg Dwyer. Now back to our show. Take it away, Greg.
Okay, we're back with Matt. We're talking about being unstoppable. Now, this thing has haunted me for years. Why is it that some people take action and other people don't? Why do some people execute and other people play it safe? Do you have a feeling on this? Because, you know, you just gave us a formula, and you've also gave us a backstory to tell us where you were and how you're doing now, which is wonderful. Why is it that some people just get stuck? Do you have a philosophy or an idea about this? Because I would love to hear it.
Yes. Thank you for that question as well, because I get that one a lot, especially as we compare folks that do implement and do execute, and then others that just won't do that. So I think the biggest response is probably fear. Honestly, I think it's people are afraid of the uncertain, and the easiest way I guess suggest to get out of that is to have some kind of a plan. So if it's my 3-step process, fantastic. If it's somebody else's, but it's when we have a plan, it sounds so cliche, but that's really the roadmap on how to get to the next exit, right? Or to the next mile marker. And a lot of people, we tend to just let the busyness or distractions kind of really steer us away from what's going on inside and focusing on what it is that we really want. We avoid. And I think that feeds into the fear. So the biggest thing for me is we have to get clarity on what it is we want, right? Because our life can be maybe just one area needs improvement. Maybe our entire life is in shambles. What part of it is it that you want to move forward on? That's where we start. And I think that gets us out of our emotional brain and then into a rational, logical thinking of, okay, now I need a roadmap and let me follow that process.
Yeah, and the other thing I've made peace with, I think the answer is baby steps. I think I do it, maybe other people do it, but it's so big in our mind, like, oh, I have to do this, or whatever it is, whatever the task is. It's so huge and humongous that we're like, ah, maybe tomorrow or maybe next week, and then before you know it, it's next year's New Year's resolution. But I think tiny, tiny baby steps that get you into the habit, whether it takes a month or 2 months or 3 months, is very helpful, whether that be prospecting or whether that be speaking or, I don't know, social media, whatever it is. I think it's, you know, taking those little safe steps where you start feeling comfortable, and after a while, you kind of desensitize yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Yep, I would agree with that. We don't take the time to break out the task enough,
right.
And we end up with feeling overwhelmed. Yeah, that was a fantastic way to summarize that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I really appreciate this conversation, and I am taking notes, and I think your story and what you're doing is wonderful. Joseph Campbell in the 70s talked about the hero's journey, and I'm sure you're familiar with this idea that, you know, there's some tragic thing that happens, and then, you know, you get called away to the unknown, and you have to cross the divide of the unknown and do something that's not familiar. But part of it is going back and helping other people, you know, recognizing that you have a story that is beneficial for other people, and the steps that you have and the story that you can share with people can really change other people's lives. What are you doing now? Because I know you're on it, whether, you know, you're a big fan of Joseph Campbell or not, but you're on this path of coming back and bringing the goodness of what you learned to other people. Where are you at in your career on this?
Sure. So I see it in two prongs. So I actually do pride myself on giving back to homeless youth and offering them workshops. But I also do my professional speaking and consulting business as well. And both are around emotional management. So something that I have definitely learned now is that when we go through that hero's journey, whatever it is, a lot of times we take on, even develop characteristics that help us get to where we need to be, that help us survive and really get over that adversity. But then we are bringing all of those characteristics to now, to present moment, and it doesn't always serve us. So maybe, for example, it's, you know, I needed to be very aggressive to keep myself safe, and I'm bringing that aggression in all of these relationships, and it's not always beneficial. I have to be able to discern when it's helping and when it's hurting me. And so emotional management now is where I'm seeing myself giving back and really inspiring people to start looking at owning, like, accountability is really what it is, Greg, but I know that people shy away from that word sometimes. So it's really just knowing that you actually have the power within yourself to run your life and change things when you start looking inward and not blaming others around you, which we can do because we tend to look externally and we don't look inside. So that's where I want to move the marker. I think the more people that can get in touch with what's going on with them emotionally and how they're bringing that into all of their interactions, I think the better we will be as a society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the idea of responsibility because, you know, I was just listening to somebody the other day. They said, when you blame something or you blame someone for your status, which in that case you put yourself in a victim mode, you're just giving them power. Mm-hmm. You're giving them power or you're giving some event power over you rather than saying, you know, life is happening for me. What can I learn from this? I mean, I just can't imagine somebody that just meets you and they start telling you their sad story and you're like, you know, you just say, listen, here's my story. Like you have no idea, you know, you're talking about such a small little thing, but in their mind, it's everything. And we all have stories and we all have things that can stop us, but we can also use these things to propel us to do good. And that's exactly what you're doing. So tell us about this workshop that you're sharing with some of my friends that's coming up in Vegas. I think it's a Saturday before Easter. I think it's the 30th. Am I right on that date, March 30th?
Yeah, you got it down right. March 30th is a workshop we've got. It's Unstoppable You. We're really going to unpack some of these steps with some some strategies and also an action plan. So back to what we talked about before, what really holds people back from executing. And it's an action plan that is tailored and customized to you, Gray, or to me or to the next person. It has to be specific to what you're trying to move the needle on. And that's what we're going to be doing at the workshop. So we're going to start by talking, one of the co-presenters, Tressa, we're going to talk about living on purpose and how we get there and what that means. So kind of that clarity, really knowing what the end goal is. And then we're going to talk about why emotions are going to hold us back and how we can have some strategies in place to overcome those and manage them a little bit or even mitigate them so that they don't get us off course and we can stay unstoppable, because the key is not perfection. The key is to keep going. That's what unstoppable really is. And then the final piece of the workshop will be that attendees are going to walk away with an action plan, which is going to be a game changer.
Excellent. This is exciting. So who's this for? Is this for the person that's really doing really well? Is this for a person that's like, you know, not doing well? Like, who would this be perfect for? Like, what audience would really benefit? What kind of person would benefit from this?
Yeah, we were very intentional when we created the workshop material. And the reason it is March 30th is because that marks really the end of the first quarter of 2024. So the workshop is going to be for anyone that's finding themselves yet again repeating that mantra of like, hey, I had these New Year goals and New Year resolutions, but it's already almost, you know, March, April, and here I am again not hitting them. So it's going to be for those folks that are really just stuck and can't seem to get on track. And it's also going to be for anyone that's like really at the top of their game and they're crushing it already just 3 months into the year, but it'll help them keep their momentum so that they don't become stagnant and then get stuck, right? We all need sometimes a little bit of a cheerleader. So it's going to be to catapult them to their next step as well. So we've encompassed both ends of the spectrum.
Excellent. That's wonderful. So we're going into the next quarter because, you know, it's amazing. January, February, March is just about over, you know, so now we have 9 months left. Where do you see yourself at the end of this year? So it's December 31st, 2024, which the older I get, it just seems to be going faster and faster. But where do you see yourself in 9 months? Where do you see yourself? What do you see yourself doing?
Yes, I will definitely be wrapping up my first book, and I'll have several different speaking engagements, again, hopefully sharing this message with more people so that we can really make a mark in the world. But ultimately, the goal is to just continue to help folks in the workplace, so working with organizations and large corporations to make an impact on the people that do so much of the work that keeps America going, right? And and making them feel valued, helping them feel inspired to just be able to manage the you know, I mean, things are just crazy now in the world as it is, but being able to manage personal lives and work life. So that is the big impact I hope to make by the end of the year.
Tell me more about the book. Do you have a title in mind? Do you have, what's your angle on the book? I'm really curious. I love books. So where are you going with the book, or can you say?
I'm not going to share the title just yet. So keeping that under wraps a little bit. But the intention is to bring my story in more detail. That's going to be the backbone of it, with some strategies and life lessons. So I think just getting that out to people in a more accessible way. Again, that question I get, well, how did you do this thing? How did you get out of the situation you're in? So it's going to be my story with real practical strategies.
Wow. With the, I told you this was going to go by fast, and I think you're agreeing that it has. So we have 5 minutes left. So 5 minutes left. How do you want to, and you're very young, but how do you want to be remembered? Like your legacy, what do you want people to say, you know, 100 years from now, 50 years ago, or, you know, somebody picks up your book. What do you want to leave as far as an impression on the world when you're gone?
Yeah, I appreciate that you said I'm so young. I still have quite a bit of life left to live. But I think, and this is cliche, but for me, it's so profound because with those characteristics that I brought along with me, I would always put up a wall. So it wasn't my forte or really area of interest to connect with people and really care about how I was making other people feel. And now I just have such a larger understanding, a deeper understanding of the importance of how you make people feel. And so for me, I think it's going to be that however I interact with someone, that I did have an impact on getting them to maybe have a different perspective, change their life in some way, make a different decision. But I want it to be something about that I actually touched their lives and I was able to connect with them at a human level. And I hope that mm-hmm. I can do that in a variety of mediums. But that's the biggest impact I think I've learned at this point. It's about quality of relationships. And even if I meet you for 2 minutes one day, I want to be able to know that I was able to connect and leave a lasting impression. That would mean the world to me.
Yeah, well, when I met you 2 years ago online on Zoom, I was really taken back by your story. And then I was in Vegas last year, about a year ago in March, and we connected, and that never even crossed my mind. And I thought, what a delightful person. What a person that has a great story and is very personable. So in the last 2 minutes, is there anything that I haven't asked you that you want to just say?
Think so, Greg. I think you did a great job in the short amount of time that we had here today, and I would love to connect with anyone that has any questions for me. And we talked about being able to do that at naturalitall.com or find me on LinkedIn. That's going to be the best way to get in touch with me and see how I can help.
Yes, and they're going to want to buy your book as well. So that's exciting. So how many tickets have you sold already? Are you keeping track of what's going on for the end of the month this March?
I haven't checked in. I usually do a Monday check-in, so that's on calendar for tomorrow, and then just continue to hit the ground running with promo.
And how are you getting the word out? Is it all social media? Is it networking? What are you doing to promote it?
Yeah, it's a combination. So social media and definitely networking. So connecting with the local chamber here, part of a book club, and they're part of different Rotary clubs. So it's a lot of networking, which goes a long way.
And this isn't your first. In fact, I heard a couple months ago, what was it, 4 or 5 months ago, you had another one that you did in Vegas, right? When was that?
Yeah, it was December 2nd, actually, just a few months ago.
Okay, and how did that go? What was the attendance like for that?
It was fantastic. We had about 50 people attend. We were aiming for about 60, so we were pretty close. And it was a motivational seminar, so we had four speakers that kind of ran the gamut. You know, we had some folks talk about imposter syndrome and really just getting in the game, getting invested in yourself, and then of course bouncing back from setbacks. So it was a fantastic event. I think I'm going to do that annually, actually, now. So,
I think it would be great. And the other thing is, I would love to see it on Zoom. Like, I live in Connecticut on the East Coast, and I certainly can't get away for March 30th. But if you ever decide to do it on Zoom and sell tickets, I think that, you know, your audience could be bigger, and I would love to watch and see what you have to say. But thank you for your time today. I know you took time away from your family. And I really appreciate connecting with you. I love your story, and I love the light that you're bringing to the world as far as being unstoppable. So Nat, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks. Thanks, Greg. I'll talk to you very soon. Take care of yourself. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Greg Dwyer Radio Show, brought to you by motivational speaker Greg Dwyer on buildingfortunesradio.com. Check out Greg at gregdwyer.com. Be sure to download his ebook at gregdwyerebook.com to stay focused on what matters most to you. That's www.gregdwyerebook.com. We want to thank you for listening. Now go make a difference in your world.